to Liverpool Rugby Chat, no? Witness Rugby Chat episode 12. First one of the season in terms of a game being played, a competitive game. I'm joined by the very smartly dressed Ian Chiro. Thanks for coming in, Ian.
No problem.
Hopefully drag Ian in. We're gonna try and get Ian in on a contract to come in on a weekly basis now the season started. So really good first game of the season for Widnes, a 40 points to 16 win over Halifax. We're going to get Ian's thoughts, some of my thoughts. We've got a bit of an interview with Kieran Pirtle, and then we're going to talk about the ongoing ownership dramas and look ahead to Toulouse on Saturday. So starting off, Ian, what were your thoughts on the game on Sunday?
A superb victory. You know, you look at Halifax, who have been a really strong outfit in that division for a long, long time. They know the ins and outs of what Goodies like, if you like. Widnes have been out of it, as we know. We want to be back in Super League, clearly, but you've got to dispatch what's in front of you, and that's exactly what Widnes did. I was very impressed with the organisation of the team, the way it was set up by Kieran Pirtle, and of course, you know, the Anthony Gelling factor, which we'll, I guess we'll elaborate on a little bit later. You know, Gelling was fantastic. Just the one mishap with the Stephen Sider side, yeah. But we'll let him off for that because overall he was great. Danny Craven for me as well, really impressive. He kind of ran the game for Widnes for me. I've not seen him do that in a long, long time. Up front, Widnes provided plenty of beef and grunts. I like the look of Owen Farnworth as a lad who's going to be a Widnesian version of Hep Kale, if I can put it that way. So all in all, a very, very good day and a healthy crowd too. And to me, James, you know, it was like a bit of a feel-good factor was back there again. And I've not been part of that atmosphere for a very long time, and I'm not saying it was a case of, you know, the witch is dead with James Reel going, but it seemed to me that there was a lot more vocal support there, and fans have come out to support a very Widnes-based team, which is ideally what we want.
Yeah, I think I was walking to the ground on my own, and I was thinking a bit unenthusiastic. Do you know what I mean? I was walking to the ground, and I was thinking, I remember when you used to come to the game, you know, and there'd be a few walks, and you know, we'd be looking forward to it every week, and it was like I was proper. That's what how I felt going into the game, and then obviously, like you say, the performance and the way the game went, and again, like you say, the crowd was really good. I mean, I wasn't expecting anywhere near that, based on what's happened. So I think there's a lot of, you know, how much of that is tied into the announcements and, you know, and things like that. You know, we don't know, but in terms of the performance, yeah, I think. I think I described it as a very accomplished performance. I didn't think at no point did you feel like Widnes weren't going to win the match. Yes. Even when Halifax had that little bit of a purple patch and got back into it, you know, moved the ball. But I think the thing for me is I didn't feel like Widnes played. They didn't play excellently. I thought they were very good, but you could, you know, they certainly weren't perfect necessarily, and you could certainly see a lot of room for improvement in the performance.
I totally agree with that. You know, I was saying that in the press conference afterwards. You know, there's a lot more in the tank, and I think Kieran Pirtle is keeping his powder dry, and of course Widnes aren't full strength just yet. You know, we've got some big players, if you like, to come back into the lineup, but they're going to be hard pressed because once a 17, as Pirtle said, we were excellent, really. Really, really good.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it was interesting. What do you think of, obviously, Owens, we sort of thought Owens was going to be in at standoff, but ended up playing fullback. An interesting call playing Owens at fullback and obviously putting Ash Allbutt on the wing.
Yeah, I was slightly surprised about that, I must say, because for me, Ash Allbutt is the best fullback Widnes have got. But having said that, chap was really, really composed. You know, in defence, he held up his own in attack going forward, and his goal kicking as well. He's someone who really is conscientious, you know, in his work, and he would have practiced, you know, week in, week out, knowing for that big occasion. And he's, for me, he really delivered. And you know, it's great to see Jack after all these years get back to that kind of format. We know he can really produce. And I know that the jury is probably still out with a lot of Widnes fans because he didn't know whether that was going to be a good signing or not. But for me, one game in, you know, it's kind of 9 out of 10 performance from Jack.
Yeah, I mean, I always thought Owens would be the fullback at Widnes after Hanbury left. I didn't perhaps think it'd go the way that it has done, but that's what happened. And like I say, I think I've seen a few people sort of saying Ash Allbutt was wasted on the wing, but at the same time, I think you've got to look at Owens' performance and say that Pirtle was right to pick him there. And it's going to be if he plays like that, it's going to be very hard to justify moving Owens from from fullback.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'd be really reluctant to kind of change a winning team, and you know, we all know Ashley Barnes going to be, you know, a Super League star of the future. Let's hope it's going to be with Widnes, but you know, he's got a clean pair of heels. He's very, very quick. You know, let's not forget Jack started his kind of Widnes career out on the wing in a number two shirt too. So if Ashley Barnes going to play there for a little bit, then so be it. You know, it's a long, long season. Players are going to get injured. There's going to be opportunities where Bott's going to go back into the fullback berth, and occasionally, you know, we might see him somewhere else. So, you know, it's a case of, you know, suck it and see so far, James.
He wouldn't be the first player either, the first fullback even, to, like say, start out on the wing just to get a bit of first team experience. Just don't forget, as much as, you know, everyone's excited by him, he's only played a handful of the first team games, and, you know, obviously easing them into that environment is perhaps what Kieran Pirtle's looking to do.
That's it, and you know, with young players, sometimes, you know, the media and fans can expect a little bit too much too soon from these type of players. But you know, we know he's a quality player, and it's going to take a little bit of management. I don't want to be playing it every single game and burn him out. I remember Widnes did that a few years ago with Danny Craven. You know, he played up at Whitehaven and fullback, and you know, Mark Smith was really singing his praises, and he never really had a break off rugby league. From that point onwards, because he was thrown in a deep end and did so well, you know, it's all got to be managed. And I'm sure Phil Finney and Pirtle will be looking at this and picking the games, because the, you know, on Widnes' performance yesterday, you know, some of the teams down the bottom end of the championship, you know, it will allow for a little bit of tinkering going on. For me.
Yeah, I mean, they moved the ball really well. I thought they moved the ball across the field probably better than we've seen for a very long time. And one player that we haven't mentioned yet who was part of that was of course Joe Lyons, who's taken his chance. You know, again, another player, young player, who really only got a bit of a shot towards the end of last season when, you know, the chips were down and whatever. Almost quietly went about his work and was actually quite a key link between Craven and Owens and the right side particularly.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've seen a little bit of him last year in Super League, and you know, that alerted one or two Super League clubs. Actually, to say this is a bit of a player. You know, he just needs a bit of nurturing, a bit more coaching. You know, Salford was certainly looking at him and all that for a fact. But relating back to Widnes, he's a quality lad. He's been brought up with that kind of Widnes Phil Finney culture, so he knows what the club's about. He's got the platform to really flourish and perform. But one thing I do like, I think he's a left-handed player, and he's got a great pass from that left hand, and his distribution was great. And, you know, like you say, he went about his business in a very, very calm way, you know, did his job very, very well. And, you know, I think he can hold on to that shirt, and, you know, excellent performance.
So 10 of the 17 had come through the Widnes Academy, which is a, you know, brilliant credit to the club. And, of course, Phil Finney will have developed probably the majority of those players. Has that result almost immediately wiped out the concerns that the team would be too young?
I think it's too early to say. You know, one performance, even though it's against a quality side like Halifax, isn't going to define where Widnes are going. It's a talented squad. It's got some very, very strong up and coming players. But this is a really long season. Halifax, you know, Marshall said afterwards, you know, they were nowhere near the standards he expect, and you know, I'd agree with that. They had a bit of a purple patch, as we talked about before, you know, midway through the first half. But apart from that, the 60 minutes what they put in wasn't any good. Let's face it, that was largely because Widnes were far dominant, superior, if I can put it that way. But what Halifax turned in yesterday will be nothing like what they turn up at the share, you know, in a couple of months' time. It'll be a different battle lap.
They conceded a lot of penalties, didn't they, Halifax? I think 15 penalties. And I seen a few comments about the forwards and maybe Widnes lacking in a little bit of size in the forwards, which may count against them later on the season. But having said that, probably two of Halifax's biggest forwards, Fairbank and Barber, were probably the most guilty of conceding the penalty. So it's a bit like swings and roundabouts.
Exactly. You know, the discipline was shocking, and you know, you cannot gift, you know, a team like Widnes coming down from Super League, you know, with 16 points. You know, I thought the try before our time where Widnes spent the 22 points, you know, killed the game off really, and the discipline just completely went out the window. So I've two players sent off. Sin bin, yeah, I should say, You know, that's going to make coaches turn grey. Whatever level, you cannot be making those silly mistakes and those kind of petulant errors, really. You know, it's something which Halifax will look to stamp out, because, as I said, you know, there's a lot of good sides in this championship, and gifting easy meters, easy yards to teams like Widnes. You know, they're going to be capitalising on it.
And it's worth noting that Danny Craven's kick into touch was excellent as well. So it wasn't, you know, them conceding them penalties was being punished because Craven was making 20, 30, 40 metres with each kick, which is another thing that's been criticised of Widnes in the past.
That's it. You know, I think now Danny Craven has got the real platform and foundation to have a good go this year. He could be the difference. And, you know, I find myself surprised in saying that, because a few years ago, I had him written off in the lower leagues, and Widnes in the Super League, because that's where he was playing the rugby. He wasn't really commanding that midfield performance, which we all know he was capable of, but he wasn't doing it consistently. Now, we've seen him in a Widnes shirt, you know, over the past 12 to 18 months, him do that fairly regularly. What I'd love to see now is him say, right, this is my time, I can really have a go here with Widnes, and I can be the man. You can change things around. He's got the potential, and as you say, he's got that left foot. Dennis Betts used to irritate all the press lads, I'm sure you know. We've been in press conferences where Dennis has been saying he's got the best left foot in the world, that type of thing. But we've seen a little bit yesterday, and even though we're not buying into Dennis's kind of mantra on that, we all know he can kick a good ball.
So before we move on, we've got to mention Anthony Gellin, who has had somewhat of an impact in his first game, and I suppose a good example both on and off the pitch of why he's such a massive signing for not just for Widnes, but he would have been probably for anyone.
Absolutely, you know, he's a great signing for the game over here. You know, certainly the championship, we've seen the new beginnings launched in Super League, but you know, we've got our stars as well, and Gellin's at the, you know, right at the top of the tree in that. You know, his performance yesterday was pretty good as far as debuts go. You know, that is exactly what we would have been expecting of him.
Yeah, two tries and three assists, but well, he didn't get the assist for one of Vince's tries, yeah. But he was the dummy runner, wasn't he? But
that's it.
It was still down that side.
Absolutely, it was a good day at the office, and you know, it's nice to see that partnership with Insat and Gellin come together. It's one which doesn't kind of trip off the tongue when you say centre winger partnerships, but in this division, at this level, it's
Ince took the try as well, didn't he? Certainly two of them were very good finishes in the corner.
Yeah, I put him in my report, you know, Gellin was a perfect four because all the attention was on him, and we all know Ince is a devastating finisher on your day. And what was lacking last year from Ryan Ince was confidence. Mm-hmm. His confidence was short, he was playing in a losing team. And like anyone, it had an effect, you know, so it was in and out. But we know at this level, he's a powerful lad. You know, I remember one occasion, the first half yesterday, him and Gellin did two scoots from play the ball, and, you know, just 45, 50 metres. That's what you're going to get from these lads.
I think I described Gellin on Twitter as a trim McNanny.
I'm not sure what Mick would have to say about that, but... But if he can make the contribution, which Mick did, by the way, which was significant in those couple of years he was at Widnes, then we'll be well on our way to getting back to Super League.
And, I mean, where do you stand on the keeping hold of him front? Because it's like, obviously, he's over, he's on contract and stuff. Are Widnes going to be able to keep hold of him at least for the season?
Yeah, for me, it's quite straightforward. He's got a contract, and unless there's going to be a silly offer, a significant offer, which Widnes want to entertain, then for me, he's going to be here all year. He seems like he's enjoying his rugby. Mm. He's enjoying training. He's enjoying around being the Widnes people. He's in the town. He's active. And you know what? Again, we talk about match winners. Widnes have got one there who can just turn on that little bit of class. And I always felt, by the way, yesterday, as soon as he got the ball, Halifax didn't really know how to take him. Mm. There was always, I could do something which you can't. And that's the quality of what you pay for. Unless there's a silly offer coming in, I'd be digging my heels in if I was Widnes. But whoever's making the calls at Widnes, you know, who knows? I don't know what the.
Especially the off-field stuff as well. You know, we saw the video yesterday on Sunday morning. We saw the bit where he sat in the crowd with the kid at the end of the game, and it's like you can't really put value on that sort of thing, can you?
No, it's gold. It's absolute gold, and you know, we all knew what we're going to be getting from the lad because he's a social media freak. You know, some of the stuff he was doing, you know, in New Zealand when he was there was great. When he was at Wigan, he was fantastic. You know, making all these videos, and you've probably not seen that since Paddy Flynn had a go of magic on his Twitter feed, which wasn't very good, by the way, but it was a good effort, Paddy, I must say.
Maybe we can get him in. We'll do a magic show on Widnes Rugby Chat.
Yeah, that'd be good. that'd be good. But you know, he's a devastating player for Widnes, and you can see why the board at the time encouraged him to one of his deal. You know, we talked about that bit of palaver over in Catalan when he was over there, but now he's a Widnes player. He's playing well, and long may it continue.
So that's our thoughts on the match from Sunday. Adrian Jackson caught up with Kieran Pirtle on our behalf after the game. Here's what Kieran had to say.
Kieran Pirtle's opening games of the season go out was pretty all right today.
Yeah, really, really happy with today's performance. You know, last week we got a win, but there were certain aspects I weren't too pleased with. But today, 1-17, we were fantastic. It's great to get our first home game, get a win. You know, fantastic for the fans as well.
What's the most pleasing aspect of the game for you?
I think, you know, you can't go past the win. You know, that's the important bit for us, and that's the pleasing bit. But there were lots of good individual performances out there, man. But I think the most pleasing thing for me was that the team performed as a team, as a group. You know, at times they had to cover each other's back. We came away with 2 points and quite convincing in the end.
That's a highly rated Halifax team, so to put 40 points on them, it's a good opener and a good marker for the rest of the season.
Definitely, I've just said in there that, you know, don't underestimate that win. Halifax are a fantastic team, they're a tough team, they don't go away from you, and you know, they'll get some big wins over the year. So for us to put that score on them, play at home, get 2 points, you know, I'm a really happy coach tonight.
What was the key to success today?
I thought our start was, we talked about that, you know, working hard, playing up an up-tempo game and playing controlled as well. You know, the first 20 minutes, we didn't do nothing flash, we just controlled the ball, and I think, you know, Danny Craven's kicking game was superb, and we chased out off the back of it, and it's quite a simple game if you do those things.
That combination with Joel Lyon seems to work quite well tonight.
Yeah, we mixed things up a little bit from last week, you know, and you find your combinations, they work together. The starting front row were fantastic, that started, and, you know, the outside backs did their job today. And, you know, 1-17, it was a team performance, and everyone did the job, and, you know, we got the win, and everyone's happy and smiling tonight.
Must have been some concerns, though, when they got back within 6 points.
No, not really. You know, I've come against Halifax, you know, many times now over the last couple of years, and that's what they do. They don't go away from you, and I spoke about that during the week. You know, they hang in there, they work hard for each other, and they're a tough team to beat. You know, they're a very good team, and good teams never go away and come back. And all we had to do is just make sure we kept our composure, ride that tough spot, and come out the other side, which we did.
Got the tries on board and a well taken hat trick for young Ryan Ince.
Yeah, it was. You know, into, you know, fantastic finishes there in the corner. Was great. You know, Gellin was good inside of him. But, you know, there's a lot of good teamwork went into those tries as well.
Next up, it's going to be Toulouse away, and that's a different challenge again.
Yeah, massive challenge. We've got the travel to take into account. Obviously, we're going over to France there. It's a tough place to go. You know, they're a big physical team. They've got the home crowd behind them. So it's going to be really, really difficult next week. And we have to back it up. You know, we know we've got a tough start to the season, so we have to be good.
Confidence is sky high. A couple of injuries ahead of this game. Are them guys going to be available next week?
Yeah, well, hopefully on Wellington Albert's probably the one we're looking at. You know, he's made rapid strides this week. He just couldn't quite make it today, so hopefully we'll have him back on board next week. But the other guys are probably another week or two off yet.
Must be pleased with the youngsters not there today.
Yeah, really pleased. You know, there's some good talent out there, but you know, they're willing to learn. They're learning the game, and you know, that's what we've got, a good mix now. We've got some senior guys who are leading the way, and they just need to drag these young kids along with them.
So, Ian, let's talk about a few other things. We've talked about the match now. Obviously, the ongoing ownership dramas. I'll try and summarise it a little bit before we go on. I mean, and my impression is that there's a lot of hysteria going around about the ownership. You know, it's being said that the shares are effectively available for fee gratis, whatever. The directors' loans have been written off, supposedly. We've got, obviously, James Rule's finished now, and obviously he issued the statement to confirm. There seemed to be, in that statement, he basically said they'd had no formal offers, that the club had real short-term cash flow issues. But all that considered, it feels like the players and the coaching staff have been completely, have somehow managed to put a bubble around themselves and almost ignore everything, because certainly the performance that we've seen, and certainly from speaking to Kieran Pirtle and some of the players, they don't seem to be really affected by it.
I'd say, I don't know whether that's something from what Kieran's brought in from his time at Lee and the circus, what went on there, which we all know about, but it's a situation we can't ignore as journalists covering the game. You know, witness are cash-strapped. There's no potential buyers, as you've rightly said. They look a little bit rudderless off the field. No one knows whether we're coming or going. The fans are demanding that we want answers, and rightly so, because they're all stakeholders in this. And fans need to be kept absolutely in the clear to know what is going on with, you know, with the club. We spoke last toward the end of the season, you know, about Steve O'Connor and his involvement. Suddenly he pops up as chairman again, which is very, very interesting. But I'd like to hear a little bit more from Steve, just to communicate to fans, to say what is going on. James has left the club now, after his, I think it's 4 or 5 years in charge. He probably put a bit on the gate, you know, joking apart.
No, seriously.
Because, you know, some of the fans who were very vocal against James, they seem to be back in that corner.
I mean, I certainly, the day after it was announced he was going, I bought my season ticket. So, I mean, I'm probably not the only one. And it wasn't necessarily 100% because of that, but yeah, ultimately that showed that there was a bit of a change in the wind. I think, obviously, the administration's been talked about, isn't it? And I haven't necessarily heard this. I've had a few people mention it to me, but I wouldn't. I think I said this on Twitter when I seen it. I think, was it in one of the trade papers a few weeks ago where I seen it? And I seen the story, and obviously they'd sort of must have heard it off similar people to me.
Yeah.
And I hadn't ran the story because I wasn't confident enough from what I'd heard that it was worth running the story. Right. Obviously the trade papers ran with it.
Yeah.
Is there a concern that now with Steve O'Connor having written off his loans, is that now more of a possibility? Because, I mean, in theory, he's got nothing to lose, really.
Yeah, well, the longer this goes on, that this saga episode, what you've made, goes on at Widnes, then the likelihood is it's going to be an administration job again, and we don't want that. You know, as we mentioned, the feel-good factor is back in Widnes again, and to put, a bit of a dark cloud over it again with administration would really devastating for the club. But if, you know, the future needs to be sorted out one way or the other, let's face it. We had Luke Backhouse, who you spoke to him on this show, and he was a serious contender. He's since stepped away from it. He said it's not right for him for a number of different reasons. There was rumours about Marlon Kukash coming on board. That is gone quiet again. And since James Reel said there's no other significant takers, which is worrying, which leads me to the situation, you know, going back all them years ago, when we just went into administration following the loss to Castleford in the
2007,
exactly, in the old kind of the NFP Championship, I like to call it, at Headingley. That was a very bleak time, and it took Halton Borough Council to step in and say, come on, we've got to have some local business interest who's willing to take the club on. I fear we're going to be going down that route again.
I've spoken to Luke, and I've spoken to a couple of other people who've maybe shown a little bit of interest. And there seems to be a little bit of, I don't know whether it's cat and mouse or whatever, whereby people who are potentially interested aren't being given full access to what they want, or they're asking questions that aren't getting answered. Then there's also the question mark about, well, what debts have the club got? Because no one appears to be. I think somebody said, James Rule said in one of the fan things last year, that the club was debt free, but clearly that isn't necessarily the case, because if it was, then you would imagine some, you know, me and you could go down and take it off there for a pound each.
Well, you know, There's clearly been a bit of smoke and mirrors from the witness board and maybe James on that one, because if he said it, it's in the public domain and we all know about it. So that has been said, and it's been said on the record, so we've got to take it as that. But it's just a worrying, precarious situation for Widnes, and the longer it goes on, I fear it's probably going to start interfering with what goes on the field, because like anybody, they want security, the players want security, they want someone to look up to say, you know what, lads, you carry on with your rugby league on the field, we've got everything in hand off the field. At the moment, we're not seeing that. Who is the leader? If it is Steve, let's come back in, Steve, and let's hear from you. If it's another CEO coming in, then that needs to happen pretty soon. But the whole situation, you know, it's not a very comfortable one for Widnes fans, for Widnes players, for all stakeholders and potential investors. Commercially, you might want to put some money in, because at the end of the day, we could be looking at administration and a post deduction.
Yeah.
There is one local businessman, Shea Sony, who I believe he has been interested in it. But I think there is a little bit of contact with the RFL on that, but it's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have thought that there would be people who would be interested in taking it. But I suppose, like I say, without us, we don't know the nature of debts, if there are any. But, you know, you look at what the facts that we have is, obviously, you've got the parachute payment, you've got the central funding, you've got a healthy average crowd for the championship.
Yes.
Now, obviously, yeah, we've got a full-time team and obviously the associated costs of that. But in theory, if you took that off scratch, you'd like to think that you could probably run it, you know, sustainably, at least for one season. Do we think that... Is it being blown out of proportion by people outside of the club? Or do we think, you know, because, and it, do you know what I'm trying to say? Obviously, there's a lot of hysteria around the fans and around ownership and all that, but obviously the club have been very quiet. Do you think that, even though they're probably acknowledging that there needs to be a problem or a change, that the status quo will remain there for the foreseeable?
Well, you know, are we waiting for, excuse me, Holland Borough Council to step in? Are they waiting for that to be the trigger point? Because the longer it goes on, we're going to end up with a bit of a white elephant of a stadium where there's actually no club to play there, because without Widnes, you know, the stadium doesn't function.
Yeah.
You know, and Holton Borough Council, I've been great with Widnes over the years. I would never fault them on this, but I believe that they and Derek will be very vocal in bringing Steve O'Connor on board all them years ago. And you know, that's got us to a point, but the point was in 2014 where we didn't kick on, didn't make the investment what we needed, and we've ended up here.
I think we might have talked about this one last time you were on, was that the council need Widnes Rugby, because Widnes Rugby puts them on the map, but then at the same time Widnes Rugby need the council, because without the council they've not got a ground. But that's the bottom line, isn't it? And it's frustrating that whatever's happened or whatever the disagreements are, that whoever's involved in the two parties can't, you know, get together for the dual mutual benefit, if you like. And we don't know, I mean, we presume that it's on the club. I know, obviously, you know, James Reel came out and was moaning about because they don't get the money from the Pop and Crisps, that's affecting the budget, but I think that's pretty weak of an argument, to be honest.
Yeah, a couple of pies and a few Mars bars isn't going to make a difference. What Widnes needs is a commercial arm which is strong enough to compete, not just at this level, but at Super League. You know, let's look at the shirts on the front of the shirts. Where's the big Agsy Eyes and the Stobarts? If I can use Stobarts, actually, probably not a great example, but
to be fair, Stobarts is a great example because they are a major employer in Widnes. You know, they've got a major base in Widnes. It's not as if there's not companies in Widnes that would be capable of paying, I don't know, 50-100 grand on front of the shirt.
Yeah.
You know, so is the like you say, does it all come back to the whole administration side, where are people being put off from sponsoring, obviously the hangover from failing to deliver in the past and all that sort of thing? Is you almost need someone to come along and draw a line in the sand and say, right, we're the new club, almost.
Yeah.
Forget what's happened, we're going to make sure that this time, if you sponsor Widnes, you're going to get back, you know, the what we've promised you.
Exactly that, and whoever comes in needs to have a rooting branch examination of the club from top to bottom, because you know it needs moving on in a big way. You know, you look at the way some of the Super League clubs operate down the road, namely Warrington. You know, it wasn't long ago that Warrington was struggling at the foot of Super League under Paul Cullen. You know, things can change pretty quickly around here. Widnes could be in that top echelon again, but they've got to go about it in the right way, run it as a business, and be completely transparent, and don't sell false promises and dreams, and take people down the garden path, which I believe that has been the case in some businesses.
It was funny actually, because I was thinking, why have we never had Merseyflow on the front of the shirts? That's what I was thinking. I don't know why it came into my head. Was it that they hit the 1 millionth different fine, was it? Or was it £1 million in total in fines that they hit recently? I mean, you'd only need probably a tenth of that to go on the front of the Widnes shirt. Yeah. I mean, remember we had a Liverpool away, Capital of Culture, City of Culture, whatever it was.
Exactly.
So it's like, for me, I'm like, I was thinking about this, I was thinking, they'd be ideal, Merseyflow, get them on the front of the shirt, bit of kick back from all the fines.
Perhaps you should be doing Widnes' marketing for them. But joking apart, you know, that is an ideal candidate for the shirt, you know. And by the way, I'm not dismissing, you know, the community initiative and campaigns, but there's a place for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing with the Beat the Scrum is you'd like to think if they weren't on front of the shirt, you'd still be getting the revenue that's bringing in.
Yeah, you would.
Because of the other, you know, ultimately, the reason that money comes in isn't because they're not just pulling it out of thin air.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just there, and it's like, you'd like to think that, you know, like you say, you mentioned Warrington, this community and charitable foundation runs really well. You'd like to think that if that funding was so important, you'd still be able to get it, even if you had Merseyflow or whatever on the front of the shirt.
Yeah, it all needs looking at, but it, you know, it's a strategic thing. He was looking at what's the long-term vision at Widnes? Now, where do we want to be in 5 years' time? Where do we want to be in 3 years' time? Obviously, first year, we want to be back up Super League, but if that's not doable, and it might not be, by the way, because this is a subdivision, you could be 3 years down here. So let's think big, which is great, but let's be realistic. Let's be realistic about everything we do from now on, because some of the aims of what we've done in the past haven't worked.
I think the main thing is obviously, and I think yesterday perhaps showed it. Sunday showed it a bit like this. When you're a small town, you need to get people on side. You can't afford to alienate the number of fans and the number of sponsors that have been alienated over the past few years. Because there's no, you know, and obviously it's an interesting discussion to have with Super League, because obviously Super League wants big places and cities and stuff, and obviously Widnes isn't an attractive place. But then at the same time, Castleford isn't an attractive place.
Absolutely.
But if you were to draw your line on Super League now, Castleford would probably be in it, because they've just made themselves attractive. Yeah, they play in a dump of a ground, but you can't not have them in it because of the way they've built themselves up.
Yeah, and for me, it's about how you sell Widnes, you know, and you know, Widnes is it's an ideal place in terms of commuting. You know, you've got a lot of reachable towns and cities. You know, are we doing enough in Liverpool? Are we doing enough in Chester? Are we doing enough in North Wales? Obviously, we've got North Wales Crusaders, but let's face it. It's pub team rugby league, James.
But is it? I mean, obviously, we talk about expanding to those areas, but is it important to make sure that the people in the town are engaged first? And 100%. Is that maybe why the club's slacked a little bit? Because they've actually, in theory, the people in Widnes should be your bread and butter, shouldn't they?
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. You know, and you look at when you go downtown or you go to Tesco, wherever, you know, there's more kids wearing Man City, Man United, Everton, Liverpool tops than Widnes tops, and you know, that was unheard of in my day in the 80s. We were all throwing the rugby league ball around and wearing Widnes tops. Obviously, things changed, but we're not just competing now with rugby league and soccer. Competing with Chester Zoo, Strictly Come Dancing, all these different things now are into the mix. This is where Widnes have got to be a lot cuter with what they do in terms of media, marketing, social media, commercial, you know, the way they run functions and events, the way they look at history. All these little factors which made the big picture, are they doing it well? Probably not. We need to get better, or they need to get better.
You mentioned Liverpool there in that little thing, so we'll touch on this a little bit about this Liverpool RLFC thing that's cropped up. Now, my understanding is that the Twitter account is a spoof, so we might swerve that a little bit. But there seems to be a little bit of legs in Marwan Kukash being interested in maybe setting up some sort of Liverpool team. Of course, Luke Backhouse is a Liverpool lad, and he's copped a load of flack I don't really know why, but he was at the game on Sunday. Mm. Liverpool, we were talking just before we came on air here that it is actually a sound idea, isn't it, really? If you were to establish a League One team in Liverpool and try and work them up, you could build a stadium somewhere that, you know, wasn't massive but could accommodate a non-league football team, perhaps. Yeah. And, you know, it's within touching distance that you could attract players, unlike maybe Toronto or unlike maybe London Broncos, a good example, I suppose, where, you know, whereas at least in Liverpool, anyone from Yorkshire or Lancashire who's established in the game would go there and play there.
Absolutely. You know, if it's going to be done, now is the time, in my opinion, to have another crack. Let's not forget that there's been a long list of kind of Liverpool clubs, you know, going back to, you know, in Prescott, Liverpool as it was originally, even, you know, Prescott, Runco and Highfield, you know, it goes back a long way. But to kind of press the reboot button on it all, why not? Why not do it? You know, Liverpool it is a great city. You know,
you've got Magic Weekend there, of course, as well.
Absolutely. You know,
you've got World Cup games.
Definitely. You know, there's netball stuff going on there.
Yeah.
You know, Liverpool Football Club's doing pretty well at the moment. So the timing just feels right for someone to have a real go, have a real push at Liverpool. Whether Marwan is the man to do it remains to be seen. But the idea and the concept, you know, it's something I'd really buy into, and I'd be keen to be involved in something like that.
Yeah, and I think people are perhaps missing the point of the Liverpool thing, because I know Widnes fans are being a bit like, well, but Widnes fans ultimately aren't what they're trying to attract, because Widnes fans are Widnes fans. You know, you're not going to switch your team. Obviously, we might work there in a professional capacity or whatever, but. I've always found with expansion is that, you know, you've heard all these projects and, you know, Toronto being the latest one, and then I went to uni in Preston. You go there, rugby league basically doesn't exist.
Yes.
You go to Liverpool, rugby league basically doesn't exist, and you think these are places within like touching distance of where rugby league is massive, and yet they don't have any presence, and it's like, you know, like you say, it sort of does make a bit of sense to do it that way.
Yeah, you know, St. Helens have had a go at Liverpool, you know, Widnes, not so much. You know, I don't know whether St. Helens have written it off or not, but, you know, they used to do Saints in the City all them years ago, and I remember Paul Sculthorpe and Longy going down there, you know, doing training sessions with the young Liverpool kids, and, you know, it was fantastic, but because they never got anything back in terms of a product, and no buy-in, then it kind of fell by the wayside. But to me, I'm convinced there's an opportunity there.
And especially Liverpool as a city, certainly over the last 10 years, has absolutely rocketed, hasn't it? Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, there's the way it's run. You know, the council seems to have their arms around it. You know, they're always redeveloping areas of the city, and they want to do the best for Liverpool people. And, you know, as the Holden Borough Council, but obviously, you know, talking about different kind of exit, if I can put it that way. But the potential for Liverpool and rugby league, that's the thumbs up for me, James.
Okay. So we'll go back onto Widnes now. So we'll look ahead to the weekend. So really tough start, to be fair, for Widnes. Couldn't really have been much tougher. You've got Halifax at home, Toulouse away, which is Saturday night, and then Toronto away in Newcastle the following week.
Yeah.
I again, this is something I said after the game on Sunday. I think Widnes can go to France and really believe that they can win now, especially after Sunday.
Yeah, confidence will be up. You know, they'll have a spring in the step. You know, to lose are slow starters to any season. If you look back and you know what they've done, they've never really set anything alight. You know, I remember Widnes under John Stankovic giving them a right touching over, you know, in one of the opening games a good few years ago. But, you know, Sylvain Hill's very, very good coach. You know, I really rate him. He's got some very, very good French players, and there's a touch of the Antipodeans about that team as well, and very well organised, very, very tough to beat, certainly in France. If I had 50p in it, I wouldn't be necessarily putting on Widnes at this point. You might be surprised by that, considering Widnes has just turned Halifax over, but to go to France to get a result, you know, it's tough. They didn't do it last year. I'm hoping it's going to be a different outcome this year, but it's going to be challenging.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point you make about Toulouse. Certainly they got better as the season went on last season, but of course lost to Lille, which I think I spoke to John Duffy, and he was sort of saying before the season, and he was like really playing down their top five chances in a way that I was like, I think you're talking rubbish, John. Do you know what I mean? I was that surprised when he was telling me. And obviously, whether that's him just playing down the expectations to loosen the pressure a little bit, lessen the pressure on them. But obviously, Lee turned to lose over 24-16 in the first game. And bear in mind, Lee have got a scratch team that they've built from nowhere that have only probably been training for a couple of weeks against the Toulouse team, which is pretty solid and pretty steady from last season.
Yeah, Lee is an interesting case because obviously they've had that adversity. You know, last year, you know, Duffy's come in from Featherstone under a little bit of controversial circumstances. But I think what John's doing is a bit of a typical coaching tactic. He's just loosening the rope, really, to give his players that kind of freedom to perform. You know, he has put a bit of a scratch side out there, but let's not forget, some of these lads are rugby league lads, you know, from your Wiggins, from your Leeds, you know, experienced lads who they're bringing in here. So they know how to get the job done. And what Duffy will do is give him some organisation, he'll give him some good game plan, he'll give him something to aim for. You know, he'll be saying, you know, the world's against us here, no one's giving us a shot. It's that kind of Jose Mourinho thing mentality. Yeah. And he'll be drilling that into his lads. So Lee, you know, they're going to be in the melting pot, come the end of the year. And I'm expecting some tough witness derbies, you know.
Yeah, we've got the summer bash as well.
Absolutely.
So you're saying you think you'd be pleasantly surprised if Widnes can turn Toulouse over, you think?
Yeah, I'm going to go for Toulouse. You know, I hope that's not the case. But I think,
especially after their first game as well, they'll be determined not to.
Yeah.
You know, they'll want to sort of set their stall out, won't they, with the first home game?
Yeah, they'll want a reaction, you know, and I think they'll probably get one. You know, Sylvain will have them fired up. Widnes, if they kind of, you know, turn up as they did on Sunday against Halifax, then Widnes have got every chance of turning over. But for me, it's a banker for Toulouse.
But a good time to play them, February, not in the scorching sun. I've been in some, to be fair, they say when you go to, they've been in some terrible weather conditions early in the year. I think, was it the 2017 season? What year were you? 2017 season, if you went to Catalan that first, the first game, it was March, and it was the coldest, wettest I think I've ever been.
Not
what you expect when you go to Perpignan. But Ian, thanks for joining us for this first post-game one of the season. I hope you like the format. We're going to try and make sure the format's like this every week now. If you're going to Toulouse and you fancy coming in and sitting where Ian is right now next week, please do, because unfortunately I'm not travelling this weekend. So I don't think it's been televised or streamed, so we won't have a clue what's happened. So it'd be useful to get someone who's gone to the match. Please do subscribe to the YouTube channel and like and share on Facebook, Twitter and what have you, and we'll see you next week.